There is a story that, if true, changes everything. It's a story that gives us confidence in our daily lives. It invites us into a relationship that can fill our hearts with an overflowing love. And it's a story that can give us an unshakably secure future. It is the story of Christmas. It is the story of God coming to earth. It's the story of the all-powerful, all-knowing, transcendent Creator, the one without beginning or end, of that God coming to earth to be with us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's who we believe the baby in the manger is. That's who Jesus was foretold to be. 700 some odd years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote in chapter 9 of his book, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called." This child who will be born, his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah also refers to this one who was to come as Emmanuel, which is translated as God with us. And when Jesus finally arrived on the scene, it's who he understood himself to be. Jesus claimed to be God in numerous ways throughout his life. He said he existed before Abraham existed, which was around 2,000 years earlier. He referred to himself as the I Am, which is the sacred name of God, the eternally existing one. He said he was the one, Jesus said he was the one who sent prophets to Israel over the last millennia. Jesus said these kind of things all the time. It's why Jesus' enemies wanted him eliminated. When Jesus was eventually arrested, his enemies said they were putting him on trial because Jesus, a mere man, claimed to be God. And here we are all these years later, and there are billions of people around the world who believe that is exactly who Jesus was and is. God with us. It's an incredible claim. But if it's true, if it is true, and for many of us, I understand that's a big if. I know that's a huge leap for some of us. We're very glad you're here. But if it is true, if he is God with us, it shows us, and this is the story of the whole Bible, really, it shows us God has not abandoned us. Even in all our errors, all our sins, he has not abandoned us. In fact, Jesus arriving when he did shows us he's the type of God who will rescue us no matter how far we have strayed. Because when Jesus showed up on the earth, it's not as if it was a time period that humanity really had its act together. First century Rome was not, you know, some pinnacle of human civilization. It was brutal. It was unjust. There were all kind of problems. So Jesus didn't come here at the time period that he did in order to give everyone a high five for how wonderful they were. The world he came into was a messed up place, maybe more so then than it is now. And yet, he still came to be with us. So his reaction, apparently, when we've blown it, when we're off track, when we're in trouble, his reaction is apparently to pursue us, which shows he is not the type of God who waits for us to get cleaned up before he's willing to be involved with us, or before he's willing to be with us. Instead, he's the type of God who will be with us no matter how far off we are. And if that's true, Do you realize what kind of confidence that can give you in your daily life? It means we are never alone in the wilderness. Wherever we are, however a tight of a spot that we find ourselves in or that we have created for ourselves, no matter what kind of mess we have made, maybe in those moments when we feel unworthy or inadequate and we wonder, will anyone stand by me? We know God will. We know he is with us. He still wants us. He's not leaving. Even if everyone else leaves, he won't. Because that is precisely when he arrived in the first place. Now the question is, why in the world would that be his reaction to our wondering, to our sin? Why would he come to be with us while we are straying, while we are in darkness, to seek us out, to save us, to rescue us? Why would he do that? There's only one possible reason. It's because he loves us. It's the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. That's why he came to be with us, because he loves us deeply. Think about it. Who do you chase? Who do you stick with? Who do you support through thick and thin? Even if they offend you, even if they hurt you, even if they've broken your heart, who do you not abandon under those type of conditions? Only those you love. And not with a superficial type of love, with a deep love, deep enough to hang on through anything. That's how God loves us. It's how many of us love our kids. It doesn't matter how far off course they are. Doesn't matter. We still want to be with them, always and forever, to the end. I've actually told my kids, I've said, they're young now, but I've told them, if someday you wreck your life, I'm coming with you. I will be there. If you jump off a cliff, I'm jumping too. And I will hold your hand all the way down. I say, wherever you find yourself, you will not be alone. There is nowhere I will not go to be with you, to help you, to provide for you, to make a way for you. And we only show up like that for people who we love down to the very fiber of our being. And Jesus coming here shows us that God loves us like that. There's nowhere he won't go. There's nothing he won't do. And we know that for sure because we know the rest of the story of this baby in the manger. We know he eventually goes to the cross for us to pay what we owe for being off track, for our sin. He pays our debt. And if he will do that in the way he did on the cross, then he will do anything for us. Anything. That's how he loves us. And if we understand that someone is for us like that, especially someone as infinitely wonderful as God is, it can fill our hearts to overflow. If we've ever wanted to be loved, if we've ever desired to be desired, nothing will compare to God's love for us. Nothing is even close. And let me tell you, the moments when I can grasp God's affection for me, which is not all the time. I wish it were, but it isn't. For some reason, I can easily lose sight of God's love for me. That's one reason why I need church. I need to be reminded, you know, all the time through the songs we sing, for instance, of God's endless loving pursuit of me, even when I don't deserve it. I need to be reminded of that. But when I can get my head around, even just a little, I get my head slightly around the promise that the infinite one, the first and the last, the one who made all the stars with only his voice, when I can remember that one loves me so much that he would go anywhere, he would do anything, he would move heaven and earth to be with me, to make a way for me, that he would make himself nothing in order to elevate me. When that is real in my heart, then I know everything is going to be okay. I know the future he has for me is secure. I can rest no matter what comes my way, no matter how difficult. And there will be difficulty for all of us, every single one of us. There will be darkness. We say darkness will last for the night. It will. But also, light will come in the morning. And we know light will come in the morning because the light of the world, God himself, did come to be with us, even in the middle of our darkness. If Jesus is who he was foretold to be, if he is who he said he was, if he is Emmanuel, if he is God with us, if that's true, then we have a source of confidence in our daily lives. We have a love that can overflow our hearts, and we have an unshakably secure future. There is a story that, if true, changes everything. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came into the world, not to condemn us, Lord, but to rescue us, to save us, to pay what we owe, to reunite us with you, and to give us a future. Lord, I pray that the reality of this story can land in our hearts in a way that we do feel confident, we do feel loved, we do feel secure for our future. Lord, you are the one who can make it real to us, and I pray that you do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.